everyone. Welcome to another episode of us opening up the old WHM mailbag.
Yeah, it's a physical mailbag. Thank you so much for all of you guys sending us physical mail.
Yeah, hear
See,
that?
Yeah,
hear I got that it. Paper crinkle.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
I love that.
I just hauled it in from the curb. I'm the WHM postman.
This is WHM mailbag for April. Right? 2015?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's this month.
Yeah. Dude, well, time just flies, man. Well, who even knows?
Especially when 420's in the middle of the month, brother.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm 31 years old, and I don't give a fuck.
What's that?
You want to enjoy it? It's not, I don't know. I find it fine. It's just stoner culture is always a problem.
It's
for me.
The high holidays, Steve.
It is. And it's great. Everyone should get stoned all the time, not on 420. Not to just like.
Well, I mean, that's someone had an interesting thing, which was like it was a little infographic and it showed like an entire calendar year and all the dates of the year except for 420 was in green and 420 was red.
Yeah.
And the green was like all the days you smoke weed and the red was like the day you talk about it on social media or something like that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I should say that only if you have a medical card or you live in the states of Washington or Colorado.
Absolutely.
Or if it's decriminalized in the city you
live
in.
Well, no. That's still not...
decriminalized in the city you live in.
Well, you know, agree to disagree. I want to let any children listening know that it's deadly stuff.
So let's read some letters.
Oh yeah, we got the first one here. Subject line: mailbag question.
Oh, good. That'll get you to the top of the list. Yeah, a really specific headline.
Hey guys, love the podcast.
Thank you.
Is that what this is? Podcast. Okay. Congrats on the 200 episodes.
Thank you again.
My mailbag question is, have any of you tried to remember a movie that was so out there or stupid that you honestly think you made it up? I once forgot what Nothing But Trouble was.
So did everybody else.
Excuse me, was called and who was in it, but I tried explaining the plot and the gross old man Dan Aykroyd. Since the last time I saw it was in like 1998, I thought I made it up like some awful fever dream, and none of my friends believed it existed until I saw the cover in a Walmart $5 bin. Kelly sent from my iPhone.
So I remember when I was a kid, I had this very vivid memory of like waking up and I had to go to the bathroom and coming out of my room to walk down the hall and my mom had a friend over and they were watching a movie. And I remember I just turned and looked at the TV and there was this huge devil monster on the TV. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was terrified. And I like bout face and ran into the bathroom. And I never was like, Mom, what are you watching? Like, I never pulled that on her.
Oh, was it that part in Coming to America where Louis Anderson plays a guy with McDonald's?
I wish, right?
It's a McDowell's.
Oh, you're right. Great movie.
Oh, absolutely a great movie. But so for years, I was like, was my mom watching a weird, like, satanic movie? Yeah. Like, what's going on? Well, one day, and I was late to the party on this movie, which who cares because it's this movie. But it turned out it was Tim Curry in Legend.
Yeah.
It was his Devil Beast character. Right. Like it was a total hungover Saturday. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Legend with Tom Cruise. I've never seen this. Whatever. Put it on. Mm. And there was the fucking devil monster from 15 years earlier.
I got one that's it's a little out there. I think it would qualify as, you know, I grew up for whatever reason. Call it negligence.
All right, I will. Negligence it is.
I grew up with the complete cable package of all the movie channels and whatnot, and I like to stay up late at night. So I ended up watching this movie where I think it was Judd Nelson, actually, starts growing a hand out of his back.
Right.
And Bill Paxton is in it as like a garbage man, and he's just like, eating like molding, rotting chicken and talking about like refried dog shit. And like, I think he ate that too. This was all like, and I was just like, oh God, I had a nightmare. You know, I wake up on the couch the next day and I'm like, what was that? Turns out it was a little film called The Dark Backward.
Yeah, it's real. It's a real one.
It's
eating dog shit, dude. Eating fried dog shit in that
movie. Does that happen?
I don't know, maybe.
You know,
it's a weird movie.
The thing is, I might be like, I saw it. It all adds up, but I might be still making shit up about it.
The Judd Nelson hand thing definitely happens in that movie.
I don't have a story like that, but I will jump off the fried dog shit piece and say,
of course you will,
that Nothing But Trouble is the most disgusting movie anyone's ever put to film. Right?
Yes.
And people have requested it. I don't think I can make an episode out of that film.
No, we can't do it.
It's just wall-to-wall gross. It's like being in a dollar store that's fucking dusty, and you start to sneeze, and you're like, oh, man, now I'm breathing in dollar store. It's in my fucking my nodes in my lungs.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You just talked about how being in a dollar store like that would freak you out.
Yeah.
And that time on the air I talked about my phobia of dollar stores, and y'all fucking laughed at me? That's what it is. Yeah, what it is.
Well, I think you're both ridiculous.
My dollar store phobia is like Steve watching Nothing But Trouble.
Because he's eating fucking... It's an old man eating like a rickety old gray hot dog, and you got fucking... John Candy in a diaper at some... No, it's Dan Aykroyd in the
Dan
diaper.
Dan Aykroyd's got that diaper
on. He plays like the dual diaper role, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you because I hate that movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'd want to talk about it or revisit it that much, but yeah. It's just... Ugh.
Now, and here's one thing I want to end this part of the show on, this letter anyway, is this is a serious one because this is... I know I saw this movie, and I cannot... for the life of me, remember what it was called. So I want to say it on the air in case anyone has seen it.
Uh-oh.
Here's my chance to do this. So back in school, we did a like a world cinema class.
Is this a snuff film?
Maybe. Maybe, actually. No. But so there is... it was like a grab bag. Like, we're just going to go from country to country,
sure,
and kind of pop around or whatever. And so it was an Asian film. I don't remember where in Asia it's from. But the whole plot of the movie... is there's a guy who's like a performance artist, and he fakes his own death and then from afar spies on the reactions of all his friends and family. And like, I don't know if he films them like mourning. Do you remember this?
I was in that class.
Yeah.
I think I do remember this. I don't know what it was called.
Exactly. So if anyone out there, if you have any information about that movie, weallhatemovies@gmail.com.
It's last seen in a humanities building classroom.
Another movie involves a werewolf.
Yeah. A lot of the time he transitioned into werewolves. All right, Steve, what do you got?
Swayze Slumber Party Massacre.
All right.
Dear WHM, which is actually short for We Hate Movies. If you're ever on the internet and you're like, hey, how do I don't want to write We Hate Movies, you can write WHM. It's just the same difference.
Yeah, sometimes, though, WHM butts heads with WHM Women's History Month, that can get confusing on Twitter.
Sure, it can.
Well, they're kind of the same.
This is Bart from Cincinnati, and I have been hooked. That was an editor's note. He missed the I there. And I have been hooked.
You know what's great? Read those aloud. Point that out.
And I have been hooked ever since the No Holds Barred episode. Classic ep, by the way. I wrote in because your recent episode on Next to Kin reminded me of an incident involving another Swayze classic and possible future episode. The incident happened at a birthday / slumber party when the dad of the birthday boy decided it was high time for us 10-year-olds to watch what he called an educational film. The movie in question is, of course, Red Dawn. Now imagine...
At least you didn't say Ghost.
Now imagine watching that for the first time with a friend's dad prefacing this movie, talking about how this is definitely going to happen in the future and to pay attention because it could save your life. I had so many nightmares about soldiers parachuting down and shooting up my school, my parents being sent to a re-education camp, and having
God.
To hide out in the woods from a communist. The funny thing is that the USSR
from a
had
communist.
Crumbled 4 years earlier. I was wondering,
but you know, China's still around and Cuba's still around.
And Obama.
Even get me started.
Obama's got soldiers that'll shoot up schools.
Obama coming right from North Korea.
I was wondering if you had any similar incidences with movies as kids. Bart, Cincinnati. Thank
you. All right,
like parents being humiliating while you're watching a movie.
Or, yeah. I think you could take that a few ways. Is there any maybe movies that you got scared by that you saw maybe a little too young, or did you know?
I always hated somebody dadding up a movie at the end of it. You know, I remember watching Apollo 13 with somebody's dad. It was like me, my brother, my sister, and this kid. And Apollo 13's happening, and like it's ending. And he's like, he just starts, he takes it upon himself to be like, and then the next group of astronauts will be Mark and Leslie and Steven. And I'm
shut up.
I know. Like, I was just like, I just felt very uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Don't inspire me. I'm watching fucking Apollo 13. I'm only here for the large bowl of Doritos you're serving.
Also, it's not your job to inspire me. You're not my dad. That's ridiculous. Well, that's better than what I had, man. One time, so I'm watching Braveheart. This is the first time I'm watching Braveheart. So this is like, whatever, 1995 or something. Like, it was like just on home video. So watching Braveheart, and it gets to that scene where Sophie Marceau's like, you know, we all know the scene.
Yeah,
you know, she's bathing in that waterfall and whatnot. And it's me, my buddy, and his dad in a dark living room. They were like a movies on, lights off house.
Sure.
So there we are in the dark, and I'm like, oh, man, all right, movie with nudity. Haven't had a lot of these yet.
Sure.
Pretty cool. It's been violent, and now there's sexy ladies. Perfect. And just the scene, if you remember it, is like just some gentle music,
sure.
And she's showering under a waterfall and whatever.
I want to marry you.
And then cutting through this beautiful moment. Is just this dude's dad just goes, well, there's her boobers.
Boobers?
Boobers, dude. And I have never had a moment shattered so fast into so many pieces than a grown man using the word boober.
I got one that shatters a beautiful moment, but it's not, it doesn't involve dads. Didn't watch a lot of movies with dads.
Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, again, this is another late night cable terror.
Sure, sure. The lights went out. It's time to fucking watch a movie.
You know, you're like, oh, wait, what's this? And maybe my uncle or someone was watching this, and I walked in the room or whatever, and everyone was kind of cool with it.
You just slink in and kind of take a seat at the edge of the
right,
couch.
Enough of like banquet beers were consumed where we're all kind of all right with it.
So, you know, this is my first exposure to this franchise. You'll figure out what it is real quick. I see this naked lady on a bed, and it's like, you know, it's pretty insanely naked.
Sure.
And you're like, wait a second, I'm a small child. I want to know what this is about. Well, then some chains come out and rip all of her skin off.
Oh, no! Secret Hellraiser screening!
Yeah. That's not what you want when you're like, I think I was like 11.
Did anyone say anything after that happened?
I think I left the room, and yeah. They probably thought I was a wuss.
I watched that movie for the first time shortly after turning 30 years old last year, and I was like, I don't know if I'm old enough to watch this.
Well, I've been thinking about that scene for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah. That's...
You can't get it out. You know, now this is how you become a killer.
You just can't shake that shit. Exactly. All right. Let's see here. Where's my email? Here we go. So
boobers.
Hey, there's her boobers. Hey, cool. It's her boobers.
Oh, man. You think I could get a girlfriend with some good boobers in here?
Hey, listen. When you're then there trying to cast my next movie, how about I get a girlfriend with some real nice boobers? Could you do that?
And don't go skimping on a chicken.
Rotten, molding chicken that Larry the Cable Guy is sharing out of a bucket with Bill Paxton.
All right, so this this email, this is great. It's called Face Off, Ring Off.
Okay.
So you guys will recall from a few weeks back, episode 199, we were talking about John Woo's Face Off. Garnered us a lot of emails. This one stands out. Hey, guys. As soon as I saw you were covering Face Off, I knew I had to share a related story. I met a girl a few years back, and we had a brief but fun relationship. At the peak, we took a trip to a major amusement park that featured a face-off themed roller coaster.
What?
I also found that in the in-hotel movie service, they were also offering the said film for rental. So a plan was put into motion. We would end the day at the park with a ride on the coaster and then back to the hotel for a tall glass of water. So I guess they're smoking weed in the hotel room.
Sure.
Pizza and face-off. What a party. That wasn't my commentary. He wrote, what a party.
I believe you.
The next morning, during the return home trip, we stopped for gas. While she was inside paying, real nice, buddy, I, being nosy, real nice, buddy, opened the console to find a picture of her, her two kids, and her obvious husband. I slowly closed the console and never spoke to her again. Love your show, Jeff the Accidental Adulterer.
Nice.
Now I'll say this, though, Jeff. You found a picture. You didn't find, like, a ring that was hidden in
there.
Could
have been a divorce.
Could have been murdered by, you know, Hellraiser Cenobites.
You never know.
And she's just hanging on. She's like, yeah, I'll go to this face-off amusement park with this guy. But that doesn't mean I'm going to forget the memory of my slaughtered family.
Can we just talk about what this face-off amusement park ride is? Does anyone know what this is?
Does it thunk your face off?
Is it maybe like, when it, like, you know, the beginning of the Back to the Future ride? And instead of like Doc Brown, it's CCH Pounder. All right, Sean Archer, you'll have to... There's only one way to catch Caster Troy.
Maybe that's the only way you're held into the roller coaster is instead of a like a security strap comes down, it's just a thing that gets stuck to your face and it holds you in the roller coaster.
It holds your face and it's like, all right, Sean Archer, now perform Gun Fu.
Oh, Sean Archer, it's Gina Gershon. You'd better sleep with her or else she won't believe you're you.
I think I looked up, because someone else was talking about the face-off roller coaster. I think what it is, it's one of those roller coasters. Here's the thing with roller coasters. I think there's like technically 7 different roller coasters and we just paint them different colors and call them different things. Because this sounded awfully similar to a roller coaster that was near where I grew up called the Boomerang, which was like... The whole like cart backed up like a really steep incline and then dropped you and you went for like a loop to loop.
That's
and then,
a boomer.
And then there's your boomer.
There's a boomer right there.
And then you went up to like the top of it again, right?
Oh,
the
other side. Yeah.
And then it dropped you backwards. Mm-hmm. I think that's what this face-off roller coaster was.
Okay.
Because you know, get it, just the duality of the roller coaster track.
Sure.
Oh my
or
God.
Something because we have to make a face-off ride. What horse shit?
Amusement park story. I was about to get in Six Flags Great Adventure in the greater metropolitan area. I was about to jump on Batman and Robin's The Chiller in high school.
Dude.
Chill out.
I was in the Robin one. They both went really, really fast. They started immediately. Like, it wasn't like a whatever.
Oh, you just like launch off?
Yeah, you really
do. You're getting whiplash, man. That's dangerous.
My belt didn't buckle.
Oh.
And here I go, 18 years old on a high school trip, and I gotta start screaming because my thing is not buckled, and because my life is in my own hands because some fucking stoner just was like, "You're good, fat kid," and moved on.
You could have been a YouTube star. Few years later, you would have been a YouTube star.
Dude, that guy screaming on that roller coaster is hilarious.
So was it like that? We're like, but you were safe. You survived.
Well, no, I before the ride started, I was like, hey! And like, so I was like, oh, wait, sorry, bruh. Here's your fucking latch. And I'm like, yeah, cool, bruh.
Oh, my God,
dude. God, what a fucking cunt.
The illusion of safety at amusement parks is amazing, isn't it? It's just like you're dealing with fucking people that are stoned all day.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Carnies. Yeah.
You know who the number one attendee of amusement parks?
What?
Grim Reaper.
Yeah, the Reaper's going to all sorts of coaster parks, man.
Yeah. So one little last one here.
All right.
And we'll see.
We'll see.
Gene Shalit and Snicker Almonds. Snickers
oh
Almonds.
Oh, boy.
The very first episode of WHM I listened to was Twister. At some point, one of you And who knows which one, given that you all apparently sound alike.
Oh, get over yourselves, everyone.
Now, just, you know, we are from the state of New York. And certain people sound like other people that live near them, I guess, right? Like there's sort of a regional accent develops over time.
That's what I heard happens.
You know, it's sort of like how, you know, some people sound like this.
Right. Exactly right.
And if we all sounded like that,
right,
then maybe, you know, you wouldn't know who said what about the boobers.
Or we all sound like CCH Pounder.
Here's another reason why you should get this face-off experiment, Sean Archer. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Make sure your safety latches are firmly buckled and your wallet is in the little cubby in front of you.
I'm talking to you, fat kid in the Hawaiian t-shirt.
All right, so, okay, he goes on
to
say that, obviously, like, who knows which one of us said they had a story about selling Gene Shalit two Snickers almonds. 117 episodes have passed, and I still have not heard this story. I demanded to be told, Todd. I don't know if this got told at all. Maybe Todd missed something. Maybe we did. Maybe you did tell it, but maybe you didn't. So I don't think so.
And Todd, by the way, this is Andrew Jupin. This is me.
He's the guy on every episode. So you could you could maybe zero in on that voice and crack that nugget first.
Oh, yeah. It's like cracking Enigma. Dude.
Yeah, dude. You got it. All they found out, you know, the weather was this, Heil Hitler. That's how they
you're
did
the,
it.
Dude, you're the fucking Heil Hitler.
I'm Heil Hitler. Nice.
Oh, man. You're lucky.
All right, Todd. Here you go. Here's the Gene Shalit story. So, as you've heard on other, you know, hundreds of episodes, I talk about it all the time. I used to be a projectionist at a mall multiplex, a real shitty dirt mall. Garbage town movie theater, and that's what it was.
Times were tough.
The whole building, it's such a dirt town, that whole building is completely demolished, by the way.
Oh man, they couldn't dust that off.
No, they couldn't. So anyways, I had worked like a full day open and, you know, work till whatever, like 6 o'clock, and I'm driving home and I get a phone call from my manager, and it's always a terrible sign. You know, you're getting a phone call just after you got off of your part-time job because it's either you left your jacket here or come back in and work some more. So I picked up the phone, and he's like, hey, do you want to make $200? And I'm like, hey, man, sounds good to me. And he's like, we need you to come in and do like a special screening. You have to like run this projector. You have to stay with it the entire time. You know, we can't have someone who's running the other. It was a 10 screen theater. We can't have someone who's running the other 9 machines, you know, walk away from this projector. And I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. Sure. Why is it $200? And he says, because it's a special screening for Gene Shalit, because he has to screen this movie because he has to do the review of it on what Good Morning America or whatever he used to be on.
Yeah.
And he's going to pay you $200 to run this movie. And I'm like,
you just got to go to his creepy old mansion.
Exactly. I got to put his mustache wax on for him. So I turn.
Andrew, I used to be in the pictures. He's just in a silk robe.
Gene Shalit as Norma Desmond?
Yes. Yeah.
Sign me up.
Dude, it starts with me face down in a pool. Sunset Boulevard. So I turn around. I drive back. And, you know, he's like, he's going to be here in like an hour and a half. So you have to make up this print before then. So I say, okay, what's the movie that he so desperately needs to watch to review on Good Morning America? And my manager sheepishly is like, it's the new Jamie Foxx movie, Stealth. And I'm like, yeah, that's why it's fucking $200. So I put together this piece of shit, get everything ready, and I go downstairs to get a cup of coffee, and in walks Gene Shalit. And he is exactly what you think Gene Shalit is, right? Like what he is on TV
yeah.
is Gene Shalit.
Is he wearing a t-shirt? Is he dressed to the... Is he like wearing that corduroy suit, I believe?
He's got a crinkly-ass corduroy suit. It's like corduroy suit jacket with the most wrinkled tan khakis you've ever seen in your life. The mustache is there, the bow tie, the whole fucking thing.
Oh my, you put the bow tie on for this?
Dude, yeah, he put a bow tie on to review Stealth.
It's a night at the movies.
I guess those are the two options. You could either do like, I'm Gene Shalit, I'm going to put on different glasses, put on a hat, wear like a band t-shirt, wear a Seven Dust t-shirt, and go to the movies.
I love Seven Dust.
Or just go for the, you know, the whole thing.
I mean, so he was go for Shalit, man. I mean, he came in, and so I was getting this.
Wasn't going to be Stealth to this movie premiere. I wanted to be myself.
He shockingly didn't make any puns.
What?
No, I know. I guess that was the one part of him that was off for the evening. But so I'm getting a cup of coffee when he happened to walk in, and, you know, my manager comes up and he's like, oh, Mr. Shalit, welcome, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, Gene Shalit, can I get you anything? And he looks at this concession. It was a shitty, like, nothing concession stand. And he's like, Snickers almond for $1? Well, I'll take two. Like, okay, Gene Shalit. I think, like, he gave me a $5 and, like, did keep the change.
Oh, nice.
Thanks, Gene Shalit. So he goes, I start the movie for him. You know, he watches fucking Stealth. So I am, in essence, watching Stealth with Gene Shalit. We're just not in the same room.
Oh, you get to watch the master work?
Yeah. Yeah, the master filmmaker, Rob Cohen, make that movie. And so the movie's terrible, whatever. So it's like, it's after, like, nothing else was playing. The building was empty. And so comes out, like, the credits are rolling. So once I saw credits, I went downstairs. And we're just kind of making small talk. And he goes into the bathroom. And he'd been saying something, like, on the way in. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I just, I was like, so what'd you think of the movie? Like, I yell at Gene Shalit in the bathroom. And then what happens is, it's got Oscar written all over it. Immediate toilet flush. It was such perfect timing that I think he knew what he was doing. And then he came out. He was like, all right, thanks. Here's a check for $200. Bye. You know, and that was the end of it. Then he walked into the foggy night, and I never saw Gene Shalit again.
You think he remembers you?
Not at all. Not even in the slightest.
Oh, I've had projectionist boys lined up from here to Kingdom Come, making up all sorts of stealths for me.
Kingdom Come.
But I only had one far away that had two Snickers almonds.
$1 a piece, he said.
Guarantee he remembers those Snickers better than you.
Do you make Snickers almond anymore?
Oh, yeah, dude.
I don't think I've had one.
They're great. You can get them for $1.
Maybe I will. Oh, no. The line is, I'll take two, right?
Yeah, you'll take two. That's WHM Mailbag for this month, gang. If you want your weird stories read on the air, if you have questions for us that you need answered desperately, like what the hell was that Gene Shalit story? Or pseudo story? Yeah, it's a story, right?
It's a story. He's got a toilet flush.
And, you know, if you want to tell us to go fuck ourselves, I guess you could do that too if you want.
Right into the mailbag, wheelhatemovies@gmail.com. Until the next time we open up the mailbag, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Zadak.
Take it easy.